Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendship, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
That was nailed it.
Magnificent.
Nailed it.
Even the East German judge gave you a 10. So yeah, Joss, wow, that was beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
I'm all tingly.
Thank you.
You're doing well?
I'm doing okay. I am.
You're wearing the succulent shirt.
I'm wearing my succulent shirt.
Princess and I love so much.
And I'm wearing a non-bra, which these days is what I gotta have.
Same.
It's a non-bra. Yes. It's like a tank toppy type of a bra.
Yeah,
it's no underwire. It's that kind of thing.
Super
because
comfy.
Recently at work, I was wearing an underwire bra, and the underwire came out from under one boob. It's still on my desk at work.
That can cause quite a lot of damage.
And so I pulled it out, and the underwire is on my desk. And I have yet to replace that bra, so I walk around in that bra with
slightly.
Everyone tells me that it's normal, and I'm like, look at me. Do I look uneven?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's fine. But I feel...
I would just cut the underwire out of the other
I am going to do that.
Yeah.
That's my next point. But I do feel a bit askew that way. I do.
I'm all about the tank top.
Yeah. You have... With the little shelf?
Yes.
Those are ideal.
From Elita. E-L-I-T-A. Just throwing it out
just
there.
FYI.
They're not a sponsor. Not yet. Well, we have quite the letter this week,
I'm
Joss.
So excited about this letter.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
All right, here we go. Dear ladies, love the podcast. Y'all are so funny and give awesome advice.
Yay. We do give good advice.
I've been meaning to write in for a month now, but I've been stalling, mainly because I feel like I'm a crappy friend, and maybe I am. I guess it's up to you to decide. Bit of background on myself. I've always had a few friends in school, and I've kept several of them since college and high school. They all live far away from me, and I see them once or twice a year and call and FaceTime every few weeks. I've made friends with moms of my kids, but not to the point where we hang out without the kiddos. I don't click with many people. I have an amazing husband and lots of family close by. Enter Stacy, not her real name. We met a few years ago and became fast friends. I was feeling guilty for not having close friends in town, and she was so nice. There was no question that she liked me, and I think this is why I felt instantly comfortable around her. We became close quickly. I know, you warned against this in your early episodes.
Mm.
We went on writing retreats, hung out, she met my family, and I met hers. Over the past year, things started to slowly bother me about Stacy. It all came to a head this past summer when we attended the week-long conference together. By the end of the trip, I didn't want to be her friend anymore. Something just clicked inside of me, and I was done. We had a writer's group meeting a few weeks ago, and I was a little standoffish toward her. Later, she texted me asking what's up, so I texted back saying some things were bothering me and I needed to take a step back from the friendship. She freaked out, tried to call me, texted me like crazy, kept asking what she did, saying she's so sorry that our friendship means a lot to her and that she's really sad. This is why I'm writing to you, ladies. I haven't told Stacy why I want to step back from our friendship, and I'm not sure if I should. I'll tell you the reasons, though, so here goes. Sorry, I like lists.
As do I.
Oh, so do I. Number one. During our conference, Stacy met one of my college friends who lived in the city. Ginger, not her real name. Ginger was going on a date and wearing a cute skirt-top combo, showing a little midriff. Stacy asked her, "What kind of message do you think you're sending wearing that?" This was offensive to my friend Ginger, and the comment made me start to question if Stacy was a good person.
Mm.
It's judgy, that's for sure.
It's definitely judgy.
At the conference, we were attending the awards ceremony when Stacy said, "There goes a nightwalker." "What?" I asked, confused. "She's dressed like a whore," replied Stacy, smiling a kind smile.
Can you smile a kind smile when you say
after saying that? Yeah. This confused me, and I said, "That's kind of rude, Stacy." She just laughed. At the same ceremony, three amazing authors of color won awards. Oh, okay, so this was Romance Writers of America.
Yes.
Yeah. Later, Stacy commented, "Do you think they won because people voted for them since there's been an outcry for more minority authors to win?" I said, "No, they are talented writers." Stacy hadn't read any of them. "And they deserved the win." It sounded so lighthearted the way Stacy made this comment, but I was disturbed by her line of thinking. 4. Stacy has made several comments on people of color, kind of singling them out in a weird way. Things that bothered me, but I would just tell her to read White Fragility, a great book.
Mm.
She still hasn't, and I told her her line of thinking can be a little racist.
Mm.
She would always insist that she can't be a racist because she's married to an Asian man and has mixed race kids.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy is going through a terrible divorce. Her husband is a scumbag cheater. She talks about him all the time and tells me the same stories about how he sucks over and over. I get it. He is a rat fink. But I don't like how she would frequently talk about getting revenge on her husband's mistress. Like, seriously, she wasn't joking. She has plans to ruin this woman.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, Stacy has a child who is struggling in school and life, and she complains about him a lot. It makes me feel bad for this kid that his own mother is speaking so badly of him. As a mom, this really bothered me. The advice I've gotten from my therapist is that I should speak face to face with Stacy and describe how I feel regarding these issues. But this seems mean. Plus, many of her issues are me being judgmental about her parenting or life choices, which is her business, not mine. What do you ladies think? Should I let the friendship peter out without saying anything and deny her requests for reasons? I have to see Stacy once a month at writing meetings, which will be awkward. But wouldn't it be more awkward if I told her everything? Also, and I know this sounds mean, but I don't really want to take the time to email or talk to her, then have to listen to her response. I've already moved on. Maybe there's something wrong with me by how much I don't care anymore. Maybe this means I have a cold heart. Stacy never did or said anything mean to me, which makes me feel even more like a crappy friend and a crappy person, that relationships apparently mean so little to me. Signed, probably a cold-hearted bitch.
I say no, you are not a cold-hearted bitch.
Yes.
I say well done for noticing the red flags.
Yes. Yeah. So
well done.
Here's what I think. You absolutely have to talk to her and mm-hmm. call her out for being a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're white and because she's white, at least I'm assuming that you're white, you have that societal duty and moral duty to say it and say it bluntly. Your comments about authors of color winning the Ritas mm-hmm. bothered me. Mm-hmm. I found them racist. I don't care that your husband is Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Your comments were racist. Your comments about how people dress mm-hmm. were troubling and mm-hmm. made me uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. I thought they were very judgmental and very harsh. Your comments about ruining this mistress's life mm-hmm. are troubling.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. even though you've never done anything to me personally, I have to say that I don't think you're the kind of person I want to be friends with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't share the same values. I cannot continue our friendship. I mm-hmm. wish you the best, but I don't want to hang out anymore.
Right.
And you know what? You're not a cold-hearted bitch. The reason you dropped her is she's not a good person.
No,
she's not. She's, you know, she's like a nice white lady in that term of saying she's an obtuse white lady who clutches her pearls and says, well, I can't be racist.
Mm-hmm.
I married a Japanese man or whatever, you know.
Lord, yeah.
And she is racist, and mm-hmm. she's shown you that time and time again. I would leave her kid and her parenting out of it.
I would, too. I was going to say that, too.
I think that's not... It's not something that you can judge, and
and you quite rightly saw that it's just not your business,
right?
And
not your business, but you need to speak up about this kind of thing. You need to learn to do it. It's just so important. You need to go on the record, and it will be uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
but it needs to be said, especially these days when yep. racism is flaring again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, she has obviously judged people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Dismissed their work, judged people on how they dress,
mm-hmm.
asked what kind of message you're sending. Jeez. I mean, that's sort of like saying, well, of course you were raped. You yeah. wore leather boots, you know?
Oh, my God.
So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you want to be the kind of person who speaks out and not the kind of person who remains silent. And we believe in you.
Yes,
and we want you to do this, and we feel that it's very important for you to do this.
I would also say I understand your trepidation that you don't want to deal with her response.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't want to deal with the awkwardness when you meet with her at your monthly meetings with your local RWA chapter. But I think if you stick to the script that Kristen just read to you, she will not be able to spread any gossip mm-hmm. about you. Because what you're saying is, I don't like... that you've done these things. I don't like that you have said these things about the way people dress, about people of color. And if she goes back to the writers group and people say, well, why aren't you speaking anymore with this person? She can't. All she can say is this person thinks I'm a racist and it's not true.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Right.
And you then stand very strongly on the truth instead of on something that's a little more shaky. So you've got some really good ground to stand on by doing
Absolutely.
This.
And I think that, you know, as a former board member of this organization, I will say it's our job to make racists feel uncomfortable in the group, because for how long have traditionally marginalized people felt uncomfortable and unwelcome, you know, because, oh, I'm sorry, you're not a white Christian lady. We don't want you here. That's been a prevalent attitude in this organization and in many others. And so now it's our responsibility to make those bigots feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who are not welcome here. So if you say that, I agree with Joss. She can't deny it.
Yeah.
Do you she have said those things and she'll say, well, yeah. Oh, I just meant blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You say, I'm sorry. Your explanations just are very thin and I don't want to hear them. I've already moved on.
You're standing on the strongest ground possible.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. The other thing I wanted to bring up, which could cause a slight wrinkle, but I still think your approach could still be the same, is your friend could be married to an Asian man, but your friend could also be a person of color. It is true that these preconceived notions, particularly about the streetwalker thing, anyone can think that.
Yeah.
Anyone can think that. She could be, I don't know, something else. She could be mixed or whatever she is. So I think you can still use Kristen's script effectively.
Yeah.
In that case, and still call her out and say, these are not things that I believe in. This is not the way that I would like to conduct myself at this chapter or as a writer, and as a member of RWA.
Yeah. And you also have to know that, you could be guilty by association. Mm-hmm. If you do the slow fade and just sort of, you know, you're standoffish, you know, you never came through, and you don't want to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is you have started a conversation with her. You told her, I don't want to be friends. There are things that concern me.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely follow through.
Yeah. Finish the conversation.
But really don't worry about if there's anyone who judges you for this conversation in a way that does anything but, admires you.
Right.
Then you don't want to be their friend anyway.
Yeah, I agree completely with that. And you probably are going to see who your friends are in this chapter once you do this.
Yeah.
But I think it's well worth it.
Yeah.
And it's well worth for your own peace of mind.
Yeah.
That this is people need to know that this is who you are.
Yep. And if she, again, as a former board member, if she's acting this way in that group at those monthly meetings, that is a code of ethics violation. And, you know, I think that we all have a duty to stand up to things that are wrong and hurtful and marginalizing. And, you know, there's methods in place for you. But on a personal level, I think you're going to feel so good when you get this off your chest.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah. Take this stand. I think it's well worth it.
You're not a cold-hearted person at all. I think that your history says I've had friends for many years.
Right.
I stay close with, I invest in, you know, you haven't clicked with anybody, in the friend group yet, the children's group, but you will.
Yeah.
You will. I think what it really says about you is that you're discerning.
Which is everything that we talk about.
Yep.
It's everything they talk about. And you did it right up front. You didn't wait 5 years in.
Yeah.
Then had to try to extricate yourself from this awful toxic relationship.
And you know, you spoke up in the moment, too, which is something that I historically have had trouble doing, you know, where I think, wait, did you really say that?
Yeah. Call that woman a whore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm much better at it now in my 50s than I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. But you jumped on it. So you have a pattern that you can say, well, you remember when I said this after you said that? And when you told Ginger she looked like a whore.
Or
and,
a streetwalker. Dear Lord.
You know, those things are deeply offensive. And I think they point to a fundamental difference in our values.
Right, right. And you can say that. And again, you're on the strongest ground possible.
No one can tell you that your values are wrong.
Right.
When you're saying, you know, I'm sorry I find you racist, you know? And, you know, we entitled this episode, My Friend the Racist. She's not your friend, and she is a racist.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Good for you for being discerning and nipping it in the bud.
Love that.
Yeah.
Wish I had those kind of chops when I was younger.
I do, too.
You know.
I do, too.
But then again, we wouldn't have started the podcast if I had.
I know.
Had,
We've suffered, and now we share our suffering. So, Joss, we have one of the best ever embarrassing personal problems this week.
I just love this woman so much.
I have so much love for her.
So she writes, "Hello, ladies. The highlight of my week is listening to your podcast with my sister. I've been a fan of Kristen's for years and just started Joss's book." Oh, thank you.
Hooray.
"I've heard your plea for embarrassing stories and have debated sending this story. I fear it may be too gross for you, but then again, I remember Kristen's tampon story."
I missed that one.
You missed that one? And let me just say, there's nothing too gross, dear listeners.
No, please.
Send it. Don't hesitate. Send them along what hear all about it.
You are in good company and you're anonymous.
Yes. So, first let me say that my cycle has never been predictable. I often go months without my period, or as my sister calls it, happy time.
Happy time.
But when I do get happy, it has clearly been saved up for months and can best be described as something similar to the aftermath of a triple homicide. I've used multiple layers of observancy, yet still fear leakage. Listen, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. A few months ago, during one of my most happiest times, I was at work and felt I sprang a leak. I hate it when that happens. Mm. As I was preparing to run quickly to the restroom, my boss walked up. So I continued to sit there as my boss launched into a long story about his kids and their various activities. All the while, I'm feeling happier and happier and really needed to leave. But what excuse do you make to walk out on your boss? What crime scene evidence may be left behind once I get up and that my boss will see? My male boss. I'm right there with you, honey. My ultra-conservative male boss. I just needed to quit. I mean, really, you can never go back to work if this happens. I couldn't agree more.
You have to quit your job.
Yes.
Take the chair with you.
I totally agree. And he just kept talking while I sat there thinking, OMG, what should I do? How can I get him to go away? What exactly is going on down there? Please don't let anything happen that makes me so embarrassed. I have no choice but to quit my job. If I do need to quit, what would I do? I don't want to learn a new job. I may just have to move, change my name. Yes, you may. Could I qualify for witness protection relocation program? It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. And as all of these thoughts and scenarios of him suddenly figuring out my dumb up play in my head, I then realize I haven't paid any attention to what he was saying. None. I may have just been assigned a new project. I may have just been fired. I have no idea. After what felt like years of torture and every humiliating option has played out in my head, he finally left and I made a mad dash for the restroom. Luckily, there was not much leakage. Mm-hmm. I was wearing black pants and I was able to hide in my office for the rest of the day.
Crazy.
So far, he hasn't mentioned anything. I didn't complete, so I'm pretty confident he didn't assign me anything additional that day. Signed, A River Runs Through It. Okay, cue commiseration and our own embarrassing stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, I've done this. This exact same thing has happened to me. And no, there was evidence left on my office chair. And yes, I had to go in my desk drawer where I keep, for just this purpose, a big container of Clorox cleanup wipes. God. And surreptitiously scrub my desk chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this has happened. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I had a friend who I worked with during her initiation into menopause, which she called Menago.
so true.
Because she's like, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just flushing out every organ that I ever had through the vagine.
I'm stealing that. I'm gonna go.
And she would wear a couple of pants.
Oh, yeah.
And two pairs of black pants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And have
And she would still be running to the bathroom, trailing blood like someone had stabbed her in the kidney. Yes. You know, I mean, it was amazing.
It was so much better, too, when I had a female boss. And when she left, I was devastated for a lot of the reasons, but this was one of them. I now have a male boss who I like a whole lot,
yeah,
but not that much.
Well,
I'm not telling him this stuff.
I say break down that fourth wall and say, Nathan, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm hemorrhaging. Okay, I'm hemorrhaging.
He will never speak to me again.
Get out of the way. And he's British.
No, he's Canadian. He's super nice, though. He would never speak to me again.
Like that's, yeah.
Ever. I would embarrass him. Flush. Perhaps. I mean, we're friends. We're close.
Female problems? Can you say I'm having female problems? Out of the way or I will trample you.
Or I could say something like, you have a wife. Go away.
Yeah.
That would work.
Figure it out.
Yeah. You have a wife and children.
There's just, you know, there's no easy way to tell your male boss, I'm sorry, I'm bleeding copiously. Can you excuse me for a moment?
And perhaps call the hospital.
I know, but you know, it's so funny. I was reading an essay by the Irish writer Emily Pine, and she was saying, why are we so afraid of admitting that we get our periods? We bleed. It's part of nature. It's part of the human condition.
It's true.
Every man has been birthed by a woman who bled.
True.
And we treat it like something shameful when it's just nature. It's just our bodies. It's just that time of the month. And it's like, I can remember the lengths that I would go to pretend I had anything but my period.
Yeah.
Even like to hide it from my dad.
Yeah.
Or God, you know, the boys in high school. You know. It was just
horrible.
Like, please don't know that I'm a healthy woman.
And my mom,
or teenager,
dreadful woman that she is, would send my dad out to buy me pads.
No, I think that's
it
good
was horrifying.
For him.
No, it was good.
It's good for everyone.
It's horrifying.
One of my best friends has three. She has a brother, and he has three sisters.
Ah.
And they used to gruel him. it was so great. They would just like. Bill, you know, say your girlfriend gets her period and bleeds on your car, you know, what would you do? And they would give him the right answers. And would you go to the store and buy tampons for your girlfriend? And that guy is the best guy.
That's true.
Because he had those sisters.
It's true.
Two
but
of them older.
I will say this, that yes, there is no shame in this. It's a bodily function and we shouldn't be ashamed. But if I had pissed myself like a former listener had written in and said, I would be really embarrassed. And this is just another embarrassment.
Right.
That's
right. It is. It's you know, you want certain bodily functions kept secret. And yet we're all human.
Yes.
And in a case like this, when, you know, you're thinking like, am I going to ruin the chair?
Yeah.
Or can I just say to my boss, I'm sorry, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think you can say it. And even if he's a conservative man, he was birthed of a woman.
He was, and he has kids, so
that's
he
right.
must know. And if he was present at all at his children's birth, he has seen so much worse.
Seen the inside of female anatomy.
He has seen so much worse.
So you know what? Loud and proud women. I have my period. Not now. Subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.